It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity to preach. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 10. It's often hard for me, of course, always think about my Lord and Savior when we begin to think about preaching. But it's especially always interesting to me how the Lord brings thoughts to my mind when I'm preaching here of the past, my pastor, and I miss him, and thankful for him, love him, and Lord's given me another good pastor, and he's here, and I'm thankful for him, and you pray for us as we, my wife and I, as we're members there at the Church of Cadillac, we could be a blessing there as we abide and wait on the Lord's will for our lives, and we covered your prayers concerning that. You know, as I was thinking about my pastor, I thought about, he always preached, and I hardly ever heard him title what he was preaching on as far as this is a doctrinal message or this is a message on grace or depravity or atonement. But he would preach it, and it was pretty clear after he got done what he was preaching about. And all these truths, these wonderful truths that just as the Brother Long expounded how the Lord used the Scripture to reveal these truths to these men that were doubting, and God used the Scriptures to show these truths to me. And I remember, and many years after the Lord had saved me, and I enjoyed the trips I made with my pastor to conferences. And I encourage you, if you ever get an opportunity, get alone with your pastor and get on about a 10-hour trip to a conference somewhere, and you'll be blessed by it. But I remember asking him one time after going to a conference, I can't remember which one it was, it might have been Elkton or it might have been, I think probably was Elkton, because those are the most of the times that I went with him alone. And I heard all this preaching and this mentioning of the doctrines of grace, and I said to him, "Matthias, what are the doctrines of grace?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "I never heard you say that." He said, "I preach it to you all the time." And he began to say to me, "Do you believe that there was any good in you at all?" I said, "No." "So you believe that you're, without the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, your depraved nature would have just taken you down the road to hell?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he went on to say, "Do you believe that the Lord saved your soul, that you're saved for all eternity?" I said, "Yeah." And he just went on, and by the time he was done, he just said, "That's the doctrines of grace." And I'm thankful for that. I appreciated the messages we heard last night. And I think I got that bug a little too that goes around. But you know, I thought about Brother Hamill's message and get all upset with this world and everything, and I can't not grasp what that city is going to look like. I cannot even begin to imagine what the new heaven and the new earth is going to look like. I remember taking my children to Yellowstone and just being admiring the beauty and saying, this is just God's little touch, what he can do, the beauty that's here. And to think when he recreates this earth, I cannot imagine. But one thing that I can get my head around a little bit is that one day he's going to come back to this earth and he's going to rule and reign in this old earth for 1,000 years. And there isn't going to be any need for lobbyists. There's not going to be a need for any politicians. There's not even going to be a need for a Supreme Court. We're not going to have to worry about the Supreme Court on the liberal side or the conservative side, because there's going to be one judge. We're going to rule with a rod of iron in this earth. Yeah. And we're going to rule with him. And I can look forward to that. And I can rejoice in that fact. If you have your Bibles in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Came from a church, that's the only verse they wanted to read. And when I grew up. And I am thankful that the Lord brought me out of that. And But you have to read on. There's wonderful truth there, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, they have not heard. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy, and by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Every time I read through these verses, and a few months ago, my pastor read through these verses up at Cadillac, and all I could think was, why me? Why me? And why you? Truly, we have a long-suffering God and a loving God, but we also have a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And as I thought about hearing these verses read again, it brought me back to when Don Titus preached these truths to me. And when he got done preaching, I wanted to jump up in the pew and just shout these wonderful truths. How is it that there are so many that grow up hearing the word of God in churches today, and there were many that I grew up with in this church that are not here today? They're gone. Many of them not even in church. How is it that so many grow up hearing the word of God and turn from it, while there are those like me? There are those like me and Charlie, my brother Jim, and Dennis, and Glenda, who didn't grow up in, rocked in a Baptist cradle. And they're here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They're here. Those that grew up in no home, some grew up in homes without even a Bible in it. Amen. Some who grew up and never went to church, grew up in drunken, drug-filled homes, or drug-filled lives, and without any real biblical knowledge of God. And God saved them, and they're here. And God not only saved them, but he began to lift that veil and show them some marvelous, wonderful truths. And God stretched his forth unto his hand unto them. It's truly amazing grace, isn't it? And here in verse 20, it says, Isaiah was very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest, as those two were walking along. Their eyes were holding. They didn't know who the Lord was until the Lord revealed himself. He says, I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. Praise God. When I first came here to Home Baptist Church, some 38 years ago or more, I don't know, it's getting a long time. I don't even want to add it all up. But I didn't come here looking for the Lord. I really didn't. I came here because a beautiful girl asked me, and that's it. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I wasn't looking for salvation. But God made himself known unto me. Made himself manifest unto me. And today I look around at others who are like me. And some in false churches. Some who grew up here with me, and others, as I see others that never seem to be concerned about Christ, and then I wonder, why me? I look at preachers' kids and others who grew up, and not only grew up in church, but one of the Lord's churches where the blessed truth of these truths that I heard that God revealed to me were preached Sunday after Sunday, and they just leave it. And they go their own way, forsaking the Lord and church, and some even speaking evil against it. And the only reason I can say why is because that amazing grace.
Amen.
As I said, when Don Titus began to preach this truth, and I began to see how the Lord took me out of the mess I was in and brought me here, I wanted to stand in the pew and just shout, "Praise God, it's me! He picked me. I was found of them that sought me not." Look in Isaiah. Paul is quoting in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. Brother Hamill said Isaiah 65 last night. My throat about choked. I thought, oh man, he's going to read this and he won't leave a stone uncovered. But in Isaiah 65, verse 1, he said, "I'm sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." You know, the Lord said, "You are a people that were not my people." There was one day that the Lord just said, "Behold me. Behold me, your Savior, your only hope." He said, "A people that provoked me to anger continually to my face and sacrificed in gardens and burnt incense upon altars of brick, and which remaineth among the graves and lodgeth in the monuments, which eat swine flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom." And you praise the Lord today if God called you out and drew you out. It's like Paul was on that road to Damascus. He wasn't searching for the Lord, but the Lord came to him.
Amen.
The church I grew up in would never, before I came here, the Free Methodist Church just a few blocks down, would never have studied Romans chapter 9 much. They avoided it. Couldn't explain it. I want you to turn there and look with me in Romans chapter 9. Romans 9:11 says, "For the children being not yet born." That's a wonderful thing. When I first heard these verses read and the Lord began to open my eyes and reveal these things, as only He can do. "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand." I'm not any better, any smarter than those who've left here, that those who grew up in this church. It's only by the grace of God. Many people here, their children are gone. I think of them, pray for them. It's only by the grace of God that any are here. He said, "Under her the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid that we should ever think such a thing. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I think, why me? And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth." I'm telling you, there's nobody going to get to heaven and ever think that they did anything to get there. "It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." In verse 18, he says, "Therefore he hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Wilt thou say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Or who resisteth his will?" I tell you, if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you'll call on him.
Amen.
Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. I love reading these verses in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll tell you, it's amazing how you can read through something and then you read through it, and you know, and I love this chapter. I don't know how many times I've read through it and heard it preached from and read it. And then you read something, and the Lord just burdens you about something else. Verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I love that. I could preach that verse all day long. According he hath chosen us in him, he chose me. In him, in his son, before the foundation of the world. And then just recently I looked at the last part of it, you know, and I always read through that, you know, and I think that's great. But then when I look at me, and I look at you, and I know some of you. I know Tim, and I know Charlie, I know Larry, and I know my brother, and I know my brethren. That we look at this. That we, us depraved sinners, that we should be holy and without blame. Not only did God choose me, sought me out and drew me, one who was not looking for him, one who didn't grow up in this Baptist cradle, but one day, somehow, through his miracle of grace and love and long-suffering and his purifying, and he's going to allow me to put on incorruption, and I'll stand there before him holy and without blame before this great God in love. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I don't find my will in this chapter at all. I find this is all the will of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and in prudence, having made known unto us. That's that revealing. When the preaching of the word was done, the first thing that he made known unto me was that I was a sinner. And I was lost. And there wasn't anything good about me. And I was on my way to hell. Made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Made known to me. I tell you, there's a whole lot of people out there today think you can be saved without repenting. I don't think it can happen. I don't think you can just repeat a prayer or you can make a decision and just decide to become a Christian. Because I wept over my sin. It still bothers me. Sins from long ago still bother me. I wish that sometimes the sin of last week bothered me as much as those do. Look back in Romans there, chapter 9 with me. In verse 20 it says, nay, Romans 9, but O man, thou, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing that formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? A lot of people want to blame God for everything in the day which we live in. Nobody wants to take any blame for anything, and they don't want to take any responsibility for their sins. They want to blame God. But I don't want to go down that road. I want us to look at verse 25 and 26. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people. What a wonderful thing to be called a child of God. And then it says, in her beloved. Oh, did Brother Hamill, I think, started out with, behold, what manner of love. And beloved. Behold, and her beloved, which was not beloved. That was me. And it says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall ye be called the children of the living God. You know, the preaching of the word is unto some salvation and unto others for judgment. In Corinthians it says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" No doubt I believe many hear the word of God, and God will judge them for what they've heard. In fact, he said, Peter said, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged." We serve a long-suffering God and a wonderful, loving God, but he is also a fearful and just God. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I believe today that there are many people that have made a God up in their mind. Brother Ryan Austin made this very clear in a message that people aren't worshiping the God of the Bible. They're worshiping this God that they've made up. A God that's a weak God. A God that, you know, accepts him if they go out and have a drink. Or a God that accepts their sin. And God that's just, you know, God loves you and he's just going to overlook everything. That's not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
We read here in Isaiah chapter 65, and I should have told you to hold your place there. I want you to look at what he said here. I want this wonderful truth in the beginning. He says, "I am sought of them that asked not for me, and I have found of them that sought me not." Oh, I love that. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Oh, this is a wonderful nation still. But it's going down the wrong path. He said, "I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walked in the way that was not good after their own thoughts." And I think sometimes that's the way the United States, God has spread out his hands to them, but they just keep going in their own rebellious way. "A people that provoke me to anger continually to my face, sacrificed in gardens and burn incense upon altars of brick, which remaineth among the graves and lodges and monuments, and eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels." I said, you know, it's always amazing to me the grace of God. And there's some who's grown up in the Lord's house and they leave. And then they still claim to be children of God. They claim to be children of God and they want to do ungodly things and live among the dead and drink abominable things and claim to be saved. That's what this is, Isaiah here is saying. You can judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. And it says here in Isaiah 2, he says, "I spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." You know what? They're worshiping that little God they've made in their mind, which is not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Their little God that they've manufactured is this weak God that can't save anything, anybody, without their help. You know, that's what the world has said. It's a weak God. You know, one who can't even make up his mind. He's changed everything in their mind from the Old Testament to the New, and Jesus came and changed everything, and don't realize he's God. He didn't change anything. He just came to complete what he started. And then they go on here and look at this verse. He said, "A people that provoke me to anger to my face, and sacrificed in gardens, and burn incense on altars of brick, which remain among the graves." It's interesting to me, as I said, many who leave the truth and they find a church where it seems to suit them best and where they like the preaching that they want, and because they've created a false God based on their ideas of what God should be like, and they worship that God. And their God will tell them it's okay to even commit adultery or fornication, and how somehow he's just going to overlook it because they're saved. They worship a weak God like unto themselves. And the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful. Above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In fact, James said, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart."
Amen.
There are a lot of people deceiving their own heart. He said, "I've spread out my hands all day long, all the day, unto a rebellious people which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." The Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But there are many people that are just the way that seemeth right, you know. I'll worship here and I'll go where I want to. And in other words, they're saying, I'll sacrifice in gardens. You know, I'll worship here because that's a much nicer place. Isn't that what people look for? They go around and they look at church. Oh, that's a pretty church. You used to get calls at West Milton. People say, you got a cute little church there. Can we get married there? Never set foot in it. Yeah, we looked in the doors. It looks kind of nice. That's how people judge a church. It's a building. I'll burn incense. Look at this. And burn incense on altars of brick. Read that and I thought, you know what brick is? It's a man-made substance. Made out of mud and straw, baked in the sun, man-made. I thought about the children of Israel when they crossed to the River Jordan. What did the Lord tell them to do? You take some stones. And he said, and matter of fact, he said, don't cut them. Don't you put your mark on them. Stones that I'd made, because who makes stones? God made stones. But yet there's many people out there that they're rebellious people. They hear the truth. They leave the truth. And what do? They go and worship on an altar. A brick. One made by man. Instead of the one God made. The Lord has His church. And He promised His church would always be here, and no man never needed to start one or reform it or do anything else or make an altar of brick, because the Lord's church has always been here. Many have forsaken it, and forsaken it for a man-made altar, a religion started by man. And many serve that false god that they make up in their mind, one who would accept that. A weak god. But not the God of the Bible. In fact, what did Jesus say to the woman at the well? You worship, you know not what. There are a lot of people worshiping today, but they don't know what they're worshiping, and the only thing that they're worshiping is their idea of God. But not the God that I read about in the Bible. Not the God that was preached to me here, that's preached about at this conference. Isaiah said, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face and sacrificed in gardens. Well, I'll go worship where I want to, when I want to, how I want to, and burn incense on altars of brick. And then when it says, which remain among the graves. You know, when the maniac of Gadara got saved, he didn't go back to the cemetery to live. In fact, when they found him, he was clothed and in his right mind, wasn't he? But here are so many people calling themselves children of God today who go and they worship on altars of brick somewhere, and they don't change a bit how they live. They remain among the graves. And then they say they're Christians. I work with a bunch of them. You know, I work with men who call themselves children of God, and you know, and I go on a business trip and I get done with a meeting, and the ones who call themselves Christians, you know, it isn't long, and I go down in the lobby of the hotel down there where happy hour, and there they are with their beer. And then the other ones are talking and say, what topless bar are we going to tonight? And I think, these are so-called Christians.
That's it, amen.
They're remaining among the graves.
You're right.
Which lodge in mind and eat swine's flesh and look at this, in the broth of abominable things. Well, Lord certainly ain't gonna care if I have a drink every now and then. That's the world of so-called Christians today out there. Oh, Harry Hiller used to say, your hitching post changed. In other words, you don't hitch your horse in front of the bar. Your life ought to change. And then they go on, look at verse 5 here of Isaiah 6. It says, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. I don't know how many people in my life, when I began to try and, especially when I was first saved, because they knew what I was like. You know, it's pretty hard when you're first saved and you start going to your friends and you begin to talk to them and say, you know what, the Lord saved me. And they said, I'm just as good as you. What do you? Yeah, but I'm not going to be your judge. But say, I'm holier than thou. I'm just as good as you. And what does God say? These are smoke in my nose. I don't know if you ever sat around a campfire much, but it's not a pleasant thing when the smoke goes in your eyes and your nose. He said, that's not a pleasant thing. Fire that burneth all day. Oh, I'm so thankful that we serve a loving, long-suffering God.
Amen, brother.
That He was loving and long-suffering to me. That He took me out of the mess I was in and brought me here. But we serve a God that is also a just and righteous God. A just and righteous God that will have His day of judgment. In verse 6 here of Isaiah 65, He says, Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. The God that they've made up in their mind is never going to pour out any wrath. He's too weak to save a soul, and He'll just have to put up with them. But the God of the Bible speaks very clear.
Amen.
Look with me in Psalms 50, and then we'll try and close here. In Psalms 50, it says in verse 16, But unto the wicked, saith God, God saith, What hast thou to declare, in Psalm 50 and verse 16, to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in my mouth? What do the wicked take? They like to, a lot of times the wicked like to take the word of God, don't they? And he said, why? Seeing thou hatest instruction, you really don't want to listen to it. You really don't want to follow it. And castest my words behind thee. You really don't want to know what I have to say. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind me. And then goes on and says, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. And that's been partaker with adulterers. He says here, he says, I believe that when Isaiah said they would remain among the graves. And he says here, here's a clear sign that you're not truly saved. You consentest with the thieves and you've been partakers with adulterers. And thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. You speak against the Lord's church and the Lord's people. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son, your brother. And then verse 21, it says, These things thou hast done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest, look at this, that I was altogether such as the one as thyself. In other words, you made up a God in your mind that was like you. Weak and unable to do anything because you thought I was just like you. But that's not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Now consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none able to deliver. I'll tell you, why is it some leave and some stay? It's only by the amazing grace of God.
Amen.
As I said, I never came to Home Baptist Church. I certainly never came here 38 years ago expecting to stand up here and preach. But God drew me here. Isaiah said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. Long-suffering, loving God to you. And he said, I've spread out my hands. I'll tell you what. Our days are running short. I had written down here on the bottom of my list here how many earthquakes we've had. Last days, I had Japan 6.6, Haiti 6.7, Chile 8.8, Turkey 6.8, California 7.2, and I think I missed a couple, just one in China. Divers earthquakes in the last day are in many places. Where are you at today? Maybe you're here for the first time, and maybe you're here and you're in one of those messes. You're in one of those, you're out there and you're worshiping on an altar of brick. The Lord has His church, His bride.
Amen.
He said, I'd always be here. The Lord has spoke to you this morning, showing you that you need to repent. You know, there is no salvation without asking the Lord for forgiveness of your sins. Appreciate the opportunity, Brother Daniel.